Good morning, I'm David Foley, Director Children and Families.
Good morning, Honorable Zubeda Kabra, Director of Children and Families.
Morning, my Honorable President, Director of Children and Families.
Good morning, to parents, I have noted each of their partial differences.
Morning, Honorable Madame, Director of Operational Management School.
Good morning, sorry for being late, Kapiya Ramkunde, my name is Ivan Dalakia Sophie.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, at the back then, are you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Members, in terms of our presentation, I will give an opportunity to the minister to just give an overview. And actually, if you want to join in often, you are most welcome to do that. And then we will interrogate the. Then I'll give an opportunity to members to pose questions if you wish to on the overview of the MSD. Thereafter, we will move to the budget book. And we will start on 3.5. And also members, please just be mindful in terms of the overview of the minister. And the HOD, it would cover those pages from 3.15 to 3.23. And then thereafter, we will start page by page on 3.4. We will go up to 3.46. Thereafter, the annexes. I'm not going page by page with regards to the annexes. You can pose your questions and please just indicate that the page that you are on and where you are posing your questions on. Then we will break at half past 10, 14 up until 11, and we will reconvene after. And members and your partner, Minister.
Thank you.
Minister, I'm not giving you an opportunity. You are speaking while I'm speaking, so I'll just call you after you. So, and then we will break for lunch at 1 o'clock. By that time, we should be finished as well. The lunch is prepared for the department at 1 o'clock. Now we're going to
thank you, Madam Chair. But I really want to say, you know, the first is not going to indicate, in fact, we went for two, on two occasions to indicate the treasury, and the really many things that listened to what we asked and what we were saying, our service in lovely presence was specifically in the financial kind that we had. So we received quite a bit of money for service in lovely presence. We also be proud to say that we can, for the first time, instead of giving NGOs an increase annual inflation, that we now can give an increase that, in fact, slightly at worst of inflation rate, or even slightly above, depending on where we are at a particular moment. Also, for post, for NGOs that we have received, really, and specifically post social work and social ability work, the post for NGOs. We're very kind of grateful for those increases in the budget. And then, of course, a big, amazing project that we are getting is the deepening project, where we're getting 70,000, and we've got almost 23 million with a national conditional grant also added to that. And I think we're really looking forward to seeing how we're going to implement it and going to implement it. And then lastly, I have to say also, one of the really good feeling, good projects that we got an increase is a project around Cape at work. We ask if are given just a little bit of opportunity to work. Where they are given light at the end of the dark tunnel, where they are given hope and not to go into gangsterism, not to go into substance abuse, not to go into all of those evils that the moment is taking our society by storm, so that we can actually take people into the age of a human alternative. And so, Mr. Chair, I think that's basically from my side. We're looking forward to the interrogation of the vote. The vote and the budget. Yes. Thank you very much.
Dr. McDonald, do you want to add anything?
Thank you, Chairman. I think just to reinforce what you just said, also to emphasize that we're going into a difficult year. The current situation will be the liquidation of the SASTA, which is a service provider that is running for two of our primary centers, security Horizon and Zuri. With that liquidation process, we are going to be faced with having to find a solution to fill the gap that we have left. May or may not spend the full amount because the amount was given to us.
the Medicare and HIV, and spoken about it also covered from 315 to 323. That's what I see. So I'm saying to you now, I'm giving you the opportunity to ask for a question in all of it. So I know this member.
And thank you, Chair. I'm from paragraph 1-2. The line that says our primary focus to maintain full fairness, which I like. I want to refer back to the report by AG last year that in fact I mentioned this department as one of the top three departments that have issues in the supply chain of irregular expenditure. So I wanted to find out what this department done to correct that and ensure that that doesn't happen again. Also, Chair, on the question of the 2,000 contracted NPOs, I wanted to understand from the department how did they check compliance vis-a-vis quality of service? Or maybe to the specific chair, we have NGO that has been to that and say we do not meet the requirements of the department and therefore we don't bother applying because of the lot of paperwork that needs to be done and therefore we're not getting the funding from the department. So I needed to understand how do they work around the two, around the compliance and the quality of service and the impact of by the NGO. I'm not sure if you understand my question. Thank you for that. And then the minister mentioned a program called Minister Cape Youth at Work Program, right at the bottom, and I saw that a lot in the budget last year. Now, I think for me it is not clear what's the difference between that program and the ministerial outreach program, if I can be clarified of what does this program entail and what does the other one entail and what's the difference between the two. That's my thing for now on this program. Or maybe share the last one. On the page number 4, it speaks about the maintaining or preventative program for children in work. I need the department to unpack that for me so that I can be clear teacher what the augmenting their means. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we work within an environment of a regulatory environment. We have an aging overhead, we have a standing committee overhead, we have a number of other institutions overhead, and we have to, unfortunately, work within the framework of compliance, of regulations, of specifically in our cases of our NGOs and NPOs, of also assisting people to be able to comply. So what we have found, you know, just a very simple point of a reporting mechanism. We find in some people don't want it, and I don't think people don't want, but I think people are reluctant to report on what they have done. And unfortunately, with these reports, I think Taylor Mitchell asked what happens if people don't. I think what we first do, we have also support a department that deals specifically with support to NGOs. They go up, and Mr. Hedcliffe is so busy working to go support NGOs, to give them time, to give them capacity building, entity within the department, to make them fully compliant. Now, like in many of our instances, we are organizing after you have done everything, they still just don't comply. They don't submit it for themselves. Now, those are issues that we have. You can't get people funding and funding and funding, and they don't have the financial reports. You can't, taxpayers' money that you work with. But I want to make a point, Madam Chair, and that I really want to say that our first instance is always to try and see how do we assist NGOs, how do we work with NGOs to be compliant. I'm very shocked, and I'm on record in this house of saying many years ago. I'm personally, that's my first, but I think there are also NGOs who have become very corporatized, who all their CEOs got MBAs and they're very, very good at report, they have very good at writing. You know? And I've always asked, how do they get, and I think that takes me to some of the second part, because how do you get to the point of service delivery? And as all of you know, as they could know by now, serving 9 years, some of you as 5 years, others, that we have an MEE unit in all our programs, every single program as an MEE. And they will spend countless days at every NGO to make sure that they are not only compliant, but they do service delivery. And the third part, the extra part, is that it's impact. And I think that MEE process is an important process. I have my own issues around certain stuff around MEE. Because I don't think MEE must be in programs. It must be separate, must be independent, must be completely independent. So that you don't have any collusion anyway. Because I think it's so easy, coming from an environment of independence of entities, collusion can so quickly happen in certain kinds of programs. So I think the other third question of impact is always okay, and the only way one can many times determine impact is through proper research, proper love, and you'll pay these people that you have heard people lots of money to go through those impact. We didn't know they have the money to do it. But I want to say a very simple form of determining impact many times your business, are people in work, are people being put into jobs? Are we doing these programs, we're able to come for a week, and they all get trained, this and that and that, and at the end of the week, there's a whole lot of workers in five, and each one gets a certificate and they call it graduation. That's a farce. And I've seen that for a long time, that's a farce, and I said this to all our programs, we are not engaging any organization with youth abroad. The following is a climate goal. And by the way, none of those courses are any ever accredited in any case. So the point, we have gone away from that nonsense, taking people away from that, and really to look at kind of proper programs, proper stuff, and assist. We are the problem social networks, so we can assist many of our other departments in preparing young people in a psychosocial way to, for instance, come to work on a Monday, to go to work on a Friday, even though those are the issues that companies are complaining to us about. We can do that. And what about on the mental problems in our system department? Is a problem called consider. So we want to make the problem referring young people to consider. Because we have seen the impact of children coming from consider They're completely different people. Apart from one or two that will fall under the authority of the charity. Employers are now asking about where are these children from? Bring us more of them. So I'm saying that's one problem. I want to, and I think no time I've asked, I'm going to just talk about all the questions that came. Someone asked about the youth, Honorable Lika, I think, asked about the youth strategy or second youth strategy. Again, the strategy is not only the Western out, it's the Western Cape youth strategy. That I'm going to do an integrated approach, haven't you? I'm going to start into poultry economic development. I'm going to start looking to other departments within housing, where they have interesting apprenticeships or interesting programs for young people to want to go into the built environment, into the construction environment. I'm going to start to integrate all our programs. We never ever do that. We're going to have these Mickey Mouse programs where everyone comes for a week and we go to a nice place and we see, or we go into one of those horrible halls with no air in some wonderful other places that we are. And we're going to have, and then it's a multitude pie every day for lunch to Mother Allow. That's what I'm going to call. And then lastly, we're going to have a graduation on Friday, and it's actually nothing to do. They are going to do their primary thing, they will be unemployed again. So I really want to make that point that we have completely changed our focus. I just want to say to you also, remember, Kaleni, because I know you're interested in it, if you ask me about outreach, you know, Kaleni. We have revamped the whole extended public worship in our department completely. And I must say, the guys working on it, I really want to say thank you to them. We've really revamped youth in a very completely different way. Until we can actually get people to stop being on extended, but to come into extended public work, get the opportunity, capacitate, and get channeled into jobs. And I'm talking about real jobs, I'm not talking about So I think you'll be excited to actually, that's the follow-up question on Monday, Parliament, around how the new approach of the, I mean, get your question out, emailing the question. Just to look at the issue that I remember, the further rollout of youth campaigns, yes, we've started and we have actually interesting partners. We also need to be partners because as a member of a lady for a couple of years in the house came also that she's been inferring that the youth Catholic model may not be sustainable. I must say we are now moving to more and more people coming, corporate coming to us and us making it, not only the metro, in rural areas. And so we're looking at the number of rural areas that we, and I must tell you there are challenges. There are challenges. Let me tell you the biggest challenge sometimes our municipalities are the biggest ones. In fact, in the one place they've given us notice now. Now I won't mention the name. They want us not marketing anything. But we're doing a service in that community. They come in our market, so you know what we want to say? No. Thank you, we can back up and go to another town where people will work with us. We need cooperation from all levels of government and all spheres of government to make the whole thing. So something in the rural areas. And in those areas where they all the time push the armor and push the faces of the department. But I'm sure when we talk to people properly, you know, we will get that. Both the whole issue of building a stronger family, that's the bottom, that's the essence of our department. And so within our department, the families and children's work, we're focusing a lot, not only on building a family structures with the city, by the way, they have some interesting programs that we work, because we must stop working in different silos, but also the one person who is on the street as the first priority to get reintegrated back into the family, to work with him to get him back into the family. I'm talking about older persons who just land out of family. So that will go on and we will continue with that. And we have a very amazing guy working on that program, really driving it. I think Gauke asked about also about the compliance issue. And then the innovation. I think one of and I just want to use the example of people Gauke around some of the things. And it's such an innovation, I think it existed with child welfare for a while. The Iron Child. As members of the member Gilead was always saying about the safety of children. You know, in our in the Western Cape. And the whole problem we're rolling out now even more extensively. What is it being used to link? Is it being used to it also? But it's the eye on the child problem. So that everyone just has an eye on the child. And that all of us take responsibility for the safety of our children. And when the child is out of sight, and you immediately, not tomorrow, not this kind of 2 days later, that called me the court case, that we immediately realize the child is gone. So that we know the child is gone, and that I am a child, and I've also said to some of our extended family members to work with some of our NGOs to see how they can give them status to see that some of our communities are also giving them things, not only a volunteer, but something to, you know, something done to be I am the child agents. Then Makaleli, I think the issue of the regular, if I remember at the supply chain thing where we had a decentralized, and the one good thing about the definition of irregular expenses is that the service was still provided. It wasn't people who stole money. Unfortunately, the process was not properly followed. We've not centralized everything. Back in supply chain, etc. No one in the region was doing their own or procuring anything in the region here at the office. And I have to say, it looks from where we're going in the right direction. And so thank you for that. The other question you asked, and I think we spoke about quality versus impact. The care you said work, you asked, so this is the question, we do outreaches. So I remember in the first couple of years, I've done a whole lot of outreaches. I've done outreaches continuously. And from an outreach, what happens after that? What is the follow-up? I can't just go out there for outreach, determine the needs of a particular community, like Maribor, by the way, determine the needs of a place called, Hans Bay, whatever the place is, and then never ever go back. So what do you do when you follow through? Is exactly to see how do we link youth to get youth as well? How do we link them into jobs? How do we link them into opportunities? And even if it's initial opportunities, how do we link them into those opportunities? And yes, and that's the point. And how do they, let me just also say immediately, part of our youth, remember, we deal with a number of our youth. We have foster care children. When they turn 18, sometimes the families kick them out. And I must say, in most cases, families don't kick them out. People don't get a job. They actually, in many cases, they keep, but the individual one child that gets kicked out, and many times they are on the street. I must say to you, those are our children. And so we are now proactively looking how many children are coming for the next year onto after 18 or after the trip. How many of them are now going to be finished with a foster care program, or they come out of three other that don't, or bounce down those boys. What are we doing to absorb some of them so that they don't land under a bridge in Cape Town and go into prostitution, and that the boys don't go doing gangs so that we can save them? And I tell you, that program, Cape Youth Program, is exactly that's what we are doing. And then I think augmenting children at risk, we always value them, and I think that's part of that eye on the child care program. That's also, as I said, now children. That child of 18 is actually a child's fault, although the grown up think it is a child. But that 18-year-old just landing on the rock on the street, we work before we start scenario plan for that child, so that we can save that child of 18, so that he don't become a 24 or 21-year-old accused of murder somewhere else. So I think it's an important point and a very good question, I think. And then the last, I got from member. Naked, I think I've just spoken about that, the only other problem to reach strategy. The last question, I don't know, I think maybe it's the last question.
Maybe the Naked's question was, what are the non-core activities that we downstate? And I think the response to that is that we've had to really reduce our involvement in things like engagements and activities we've had to reduce. We to the point that you were becoming a problem, we were finding very hard to be able to show presentation to staff because we really can't spend money on any of your functions. We can't pay for that, we can't pay for this, any kind of team building, things like that. So very limited amount. So I think those are the kind of things that we can manage to cut back on. Catering also greatly reduce, you know, cater for external engagements with external stakeholders, you know, cater for any ultimate meeting, even if that was able to do something. So those are the other things that we've had to cut across. There's no overseas travel, those kind of things. The other question, I think the last question was related to the paragraph 4, which I think you already spoke to, the appropriate tutorial process, if I correctly understand the question. The rolling out of provincial development strategies, as well as you spoke to. I think also that, you know, the point that you have all the key milestones to cover on the that you spoke about your before, the safety program and the outreach programs, but it's also the entire after school program.
Okay.
find children that are supposed to be at school in Shenzhen by DID. The same children were there last year in September and August. At what point do those who take those children into the mainstream, and at what point does the department conduct proper monitoring in terms of saying how many children are there, what is the type in the area, and how can you maintain making a recruitment work, even if you go into the township. You go into the township, you find children that are not going to school, but they are sitting in the program, the coding extension and what is the rest of the country. So I want to check, is the department following the money? Thank you.
Issues that we picked, that we've used a number of our work, last 10 million months for it. But the first time we used it, we always talked about it. Now, only 1% of it, I'm genuinely listening to it. But what we have done was to act exactly the way finding a child that's tied to a chair or bed that is able in a shack. And I must tell you the success around that so that we can immediately do a referral to the disability program or our local social worker and get the intervention. And so at this point, we're looking extensively, but in order to stay there, they will have to move out of that program into real work, into companies, into work economic development. But again, this is what is almost like a strategy, almost unemployed young people, catch them, do a lot of training, initial training, and then move from there into a space of sustainability where you can get work. The issue we asked around a youth campaign. Now, again, you know, youth campaign and the issue of 11, I think we're doing the APPs, but the budget is in front of us, we're not moving forward. So I never do it in conjunction with the budget. But anyway, okay. So the point I just want to make about the youth campaign, because you see, we also listen to people when people are raised Catholic, so that we can understand this dogmatic approach to anything, and be able to ask. Really listen to what you say. I listen to what member Mitchell is saying. I listen to what member Leka around you, Kevin. And the issue around is how do we create the footprint? Because you can never just be the building. That building has just been the initial access to something. And we must create a footprint in a particular region or a particular area. And I think Mitchell's plan and what the other place called Bredardo is a very, very good example. But the Arsenal is not even a youth cafe. But they have a little youth hub at a little local office here, there's a youth hub. But they have facilities in the area that they can use to roll out programs. And I think a better example of footprint, not only in the Arsenal, but sometimes as a peer in Hans, what the place there, the bottom right in here to Armiston, in the place of Armiston, all those areas can be rolled up. You don't need to sit in one side and wait people to come there. The youth cafe can go out. And I think that's what, in a way, also we've got view, we've got right in a proper way. They've got also part of the after school program. And that's all of that to become more out and outreach to the young people. So I think that's an important point. I think member Botha, you asked something about concern. Yes. Remember, applications for concerns come from many, many different spaces, including youth campus. And in fact, a number, I can't give you the number, but a number of people who have been attended the youth campus have applied to concerns because concerns, obviously the phones will be there. And people will apply, so I think yes, concerns is one of the places that young people apply to, or the youth campus is one of the spaces where people can access consultants and do the course. Interesting question you asked, you know, we're always in a catch-22 situation between a rock and a hard place. You know, one of the things is you can't spend money on this, on the other hand, you need to keep your staff motivated. And one of the issues we had right now was to, in the child and youth care space, we've given young people and people staff the opportunity to better and to be professionalized child in this case. So a whole lot of them went to Nehemiah College, all of them passed. But the top students of every center, we are now invited, and in fact on Monday I'm going to have, I'm meeting the district on Monday, so I'm meeting with that group for a cup of tea and a piece of cake in the Eden district on Monday. That's a part of to try and keep people, as you said, motivated. Also, when we discover, and I want to say, you know, it's also with problem social development. Our children also die. Our children also get sick. Our social workers will always care and for other people in our house really what happens to us. And I want to say we are excellent at getting to where the problem is in our department or give support to our staff. We're excellent. And I'm very proud of our staff. And I think I jumped into it also to go and sympathize with the member of the staff, because and their child is really was shot or something, to get into the to jump into that water and give support or stuff. Without money, there's no money always going to be confident in that. But with all of that. But just on the VP of Africa, you know, VP of Africa are those women shelters that we are funding, and those women who get skills. And what we have to also look at is how do we get those women after they've been in the center, how do they assist them after being given training to get jobs and to get work? And that Africa is that, and it speaks to how we channel those women, why we need to give them skills, but to also speak to companies to give them work, so that we can stay in work. And I think that speaks to that aftercare that we've talked here. There's also a full program for aftercare for women, perfect. And about that, but what that is here, so we can also expand on.
Thanks, Chair. Just to add a few things. Regarding the question on implementing preventative programs for children at risk, as Melissa mentioned, we've started introducing the I'm a Child program in certain areas. We've made it a part of the ECBD program where we have ECBD. We've also received extra money for ECBD rollout, so we've expanded and started a new ECBD site. But the thing with ECBD is we quite correctly the integrate it and make sure that the referral cases between ECBD and other services is strong. And that's something that our director for child protection to, for example, link ECBD to the drop-in centres that we also fund, and adding the higher child aspect to ECBD so that we place out into community volunteers who then are eyes and ears in the community to give us early warning about the monitoring of the Sibindi is done by the appropriate office for defendants in Melbourne, and their role is to go and check that the organisations are adhering to the contract conditions, and also to do spot checks to make sure that service delivery is happening properly. Orders are general for the checks these sites sometimes as well. I think this year's
Specific case that you have, the specific case that you have to take it off air, but
Thank you.
specify that area in terms of services for victims of terrorist victims of violence is in the catchment area of the metropole. So it uses shelters such as Fatih Batman and others. So we, and hydrogen also is part of the identified solutions. So we are focusing in that area in terms of combating crime. Yes, escalation in that area. But what is happening in terms of piloting coordinated government interventions, the areas that have been designated to be piloted this year, in other words, to separate from the rest of the prioritized police station, is there, is Nyanga, and the Kaili. Preventing those areas, the idea is that the government intervention should be coordinated in all areas with gender-based violence, and so that the government will be able to focus on women.
To a final trial of state.
in our facility training or teaching, and then start promptly at 5 to 11.